This episode of the podcast is brought to you by our sponsors over at Murder, Inc. They want to remind you to always wear a mask with plenty of airflow to prevent overheating when attacking, chasing, and stalking your victims. Murder, Inc. Kill the win. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Roll Credits Podcast, the only podcast where you never actually see the podcast hosts. I'm Frank.
I'm Zach. Whoa, that's true. Oh, shit. It's real.
And today we are discussing, like I mentioned, kind of what we prefer, if we have a preference at all, to films, horror movies that show a monster or the creature or the horror that is contained within the film itself versus a movie that more or less leaves it up to your imagination and lets you imagine what the creature looks like or what the creature is doing to somebody. So yeah, I thought that was an interesting concept that we should talk about, because we always say that we love when they don't show us or they show us very little.
Yes. And you know what too, like when you texted me like that was gonna be like the idea of this episode, and I was like, oh, fuck yeah, easy. Like, I prefer them not to show it. And then I was thinking about it, and then I was like, well, wait. Like, you know, when it comes to movie monsters, like, there's such a variety of them.
Yeah.
Where it's like, no, I need to see some of them.
Yeah.
And that's where it's like, like, what type do you prefer not to see?
Right.
And what type do you prefer to see?
Yeah, because there needs to be this fine line. We always talk about it, right? Of what makes something scary? Is it visually showing something because it's so horrific that you like, I need to look away? Or is it more the idea of something that scares you? Something that always is a really, really good example, I think, is It Comes at Night. It Comes at Night, to me, is pretty scary.
Yeah.
And it's because, and it's not scary in the typical sense. The dream sequences in It Comes at Night are kind of like the traditional horror aspect of the film.
And you think like, oh, it's like a virus. It's like a zombie infection type thing.
Something is going on. We don't know what it is. And that's where It Comes at Night really kind of excels, I think, in tension building and making you scared. Because you don't know what is out there, and they keep it so vague. And you're like, I don't know what the hell is going on, but clearly there's something going on here, and it's making these people act the way that they act. I mean, you know, in the film, the family has a very specific routine, and they don't like to like diverge from that routine. And I mean, the opening shot of them having to kill the grandfather because he was clearly infected by it. So like, you're seeing the aftermath of the infection or what's going on, but you don't know what's causing it. Is it airborne? We have no idea.
Yeah, and then even too, where it's like, oh, the other family is infected, and it's like, now it becomes like this whole standstill after you just spent 20 minutes of them becoming like almost a family together.
Right, yeah. Really good tension building, and that is really good horror, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Another great example is The Witch.
Yes.
You very rarely see the witch in the movie, right? When you do see her, she's usually shrouded in shadow or and whatnot. The rest of the movie, the horror is just looking out into the woods and just seeing and knowing that she's somewhere out there, right? But then, of course, we then bounce back to John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yeah, where it's like they show, in my opinion, like just enough. Because like there's not ever like a 3-minute scene where it's like you get like a full-on look at it. It's like he'll cut it in a way where it's like you get a glimpse and then like you see it for like all of like 30 seconds and you're kind of like looking all over.
You're looking
the place
around trying to see everything that's going on, but they definitely show you enough, and they definitely show you like, I mean, there are scenes in where like he does hold on certain things. The spider head is a really good example.
When like it's breaking off from the neck. Like, yes, like
that is all being showed to you visually. And that's, you know, one of the most iconic horror movies ever made. So the idea, imagine never seeing The Thing at all.
It could work.
It could. That's the thing.
Like, it could work. Because,
but
like,
I like to see the guts, and I like to see the gore,
like,
too.
Like, if you just had it where it's, like, the one crew member, like, has the arm and, like, raises it up and screams, and then they set it on fire, and, like, that's the most that you get of it, but you keep seeing, like, the thing, air quotes, showing up.
Yeah.
That could still work.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it works so much better showing you the actual horror of it. And it's like, there are certain, again, there are certain, like, things where it's like, certain horror movies need to show it. Like, if you have, like, a slasher or, like, a Universal monster movie, like Wolfman, Frankenstein, Creature from the Black Lagoon, like, in that time era, it did not work if you didn't show the creature.
Yeah.
Like, you needed to show them, you needed to have on screen, you needed them to do something scary in order to convey it, because at that point in time, movies were running like an hour and 10 minutes. And it's like, you don't have the time really to not show a creature to get the scare.
Right.
Like, you needed to have it like where somebody opens a door and the wolfman is there ready to claw someone in half.
Yeah.
Like, you needed that.
Yeah.
Even too, like in 1954, like, you know, you have the first Godzilla movie, which is the only one, in my opinion, that is a horror film.
Mm-hmm.
But you only have 4 minutes of time that you see Godzilla.
That's like a common thing that I don't think a lot of you don't realize is, like, you look at all of these horror films and there's a lot of examples of really iconic characters not actually being on screen that much.
Mm-hmm.
Beetlejuice is a really good example.
Yeah.
And while Beetlejuice is not maybe so much of a horror, there is obviously like a creepiness and like a silliness though as well.
Mm-hmm.
But Beetlejuice is like what, maybe 8 minutes on screen, maybe not even that much, maybe a little more. Like, he's barely in the movie.
Even too, like, you look at one of the best werewolf movies ever made, of An American Werewolf in London.
Yeah.
That train sequence of like the guy running, and then you get the overhead shot from the escalator, and you see literally just like the face and the upper body of the werewolf, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's like the most that you get other than the werewolf transformation scene.
Right, yeah.
And it's like, that's insane that one of the very best is that's it. Like, that's all you see of the werewolf.
Yeah.
And like, it's taken me years to like find actual like designs and like figures and like museums that show the full-on werewolf.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what it actually looked like. Like, it was more of just a wolf itself.
Right. Yeah.
But like, it works.
Of course. It's kind of a traditional wolf. When you do look at it, you're like, oh, okay, it's just a wolf.
But like, I was even looking up like a little bit of research too. So it's like, from like a Rotten Tomato standpoint too, like they did like a bunch of like surveys and everything. And it showed that most monsters that are shown for like 4 minutes max have like a 76.5% rating of like people loving it, versus if you show it for less time, it's like at a 65%. And then even so, like, revealing the monster within the first 30 minutes of the film has like a 77% chance of like being good, versus 69 if they show it anywhere between like 30 to 60%, and then going down to a 66% if you show it within like the last like 15-20 minutes.
Gotcha.
Which is odd. Again, where it's like,
well, I don't think it is actually that odd in my opinion, because I do think that there is something to be said about, there needs to be a setup.
Yes.
You need to understand that there is a creature, a monster, or something going on, and I need to have a somewhat idea of what it looks like so I understand what the family that is being terrorized or the people that are being stalked in the film are up against. You know, they need to be able to be like, there needs to be like, oh my God, I know what's chasing them, which I think enhances the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Versus if you go, you know, if you have a traditional hour and a half, 90 minute film, and you go 70 minutes without ever seeing anything, and then at the end it's revealed, I mean, those can work, but I think the audience is way more invested when they have some idea of what is chasing them.
Yeah, well, that's why it's like, it all depends on like what the creature is. Like, for the most part, werewolf stuff, I need to see that, except for, again, and I hate going back to this movie, but The Cursed.
Oh yeah.
It would have profited so much better if I never saw the werewolf. If I saw like a, it's the worst looking werewolf I've ever seen. And I've seen horrible werewolf movies.
Yeah.
But if you just showed me like a glimpse here and there, or like how they did it where it's like that POV shot of like you're seeing through the werewolf's eyes.
Yeah.
Like that's it. Perfect. Fine. I don't need like a reinvention of the wheel. Like I get it. It's a werewolf.
Yeah.
That's fine. But like certain things like Lovecraftian.
Yeah, when things start getting so abstract, yeah, that you know you can only imagine, when things are written so detailed yet so abstract at the same time that it's hard to exactly articulate and visually make what is being written down and being explained, those tend to work better, I think, of just hearing certain things. Mm-hmm. Watching a character react to what they are seeing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, maybe giving you just the slightest glimpse, mm-hmm, of something.
Yeah, like if you think of like the lighthouse with like when young Tom like actually goes and like looks inside the lighthouse and like just goes insane seeing it.
Yeah.
It's like that's good. Like I need something like that where it's like I can't see it.
Right.
I hate to admit it, but like when you talked about this topic to me, the first one that came to mind was actually Bird Box. And the reason why
is Bullock film, right?
And the reason why is because like I didn't like the movie when it came out. I still don't really think I like the movie, but the idea of something that you look at making you go insane and like become murderous, and you never actually see what it is. They don't outright say it, but I've always been in this mindset where it's like, if I think that there's something Lovecraftian, like something Eldritch Horror, something like Cthulhu is literally there that's making someone go insane, then it works. Like, in my mind, it's like, that's the whole idea, is that like, if you look at them, you go insane from them.
Yeah.
So it's like, why not? They don't show it. So it's up to my imagination.
Right, yeah.
So because of that, I can think that it's fucking old ones.
Right.
And because of that, I actually kind of like the movie. Like literally got me to be like, I think I'm okay with this.
Okay, yeah. Another, I think, good example of showing, but like making something that would maybe not stereotypically be all that scary is It Follows.
Yeah.
So It Follows is, you never see what it is because whatever it is just jumps from person to person.
Mm-hmm.
So then the person now is the creature.
And you get like small glimpses where it's like the tall man and like the little child like breaking through the floorboard, but that's it.
Yeah.
Like that's not its true form.
Right. Yeah. You never actually see what it really is. The only time you kind of get a glimpse of it is when I think they get it in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like this.
No, not even. Cause like to the people that can't see it, it's still just invisible.
Right. Exactly. So like you never know what it is. And I think that it's really smart. And I think that that's a really good movie to kind of. I think there was a real accomplishment in that film with making something so scary yet so believable.
Yeah. Like this, it's something that like, who's to say it couldn't happen? And like, yes, the whole movie is literally a stance on like STDs.
Because, right.
Like, it's the best STD movie ever.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, and like some of the shots of just a couple sit, like when they're sitting in the diner and they're just talking,
mm-hmm,
and you're listening to their conversation, and then the focus shifts to it, like racks focus to outside in the street, and it's just a guy crossing the, mm-hmm, street.
The grandma one like was always the scariest for me.
Right. Yeah.
Where it's like she's literally in class and just looks over and sees an old lady.
Right. Yeah.
Walking towards her.
Yeah. And like these people, for the most part, the only one that's like kind of actually visually scary, I think, is the tall guy.
Yeah.
When he comes into the house. But everybody else is just a person. And, mm-hmm, like what I was trying to get to about the diner scene is like, it's just a guy crossing the street. Mm-hmm. And that's where your mind starts going. It's like, is that the creature? Mm-hmm. Or is that just a guy crossing the street?
Yeah, is that just somebody that wants to get takeout?
Right, like you don't know. And I think that is something that really works. And that's kind of going back to the thing where it's like, you don't know. Mm-hmm. You don't know who or what is, right? It's another example of not even in a horror film, but the movie that sort of inspired The Hateful Eight was The Thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you don't know who the bad guy is or who the good guy is. Are they all in it on it? Is it one person? Is it two people? You don't know who you can trust at all. And I think those types of movies really, really work in horror. Mm-hmm. Because especially when they're written really well and it's a good character and you have a great actor who has like the subtleties of like, oh, is he being weird? Is he not being weird? Something that I haven't seen, but you showed it. You said, and I've gotten many messages about, was Halloween Ends. Mm-hmm. Of trying to introduce a character that is like a person where it's like, oh, he's similar to Michael Myers, and, mm-hmm. and he kind of has these traits of Michael Myers of like, is he evil or is he not evil? Is he killing these people? Is he not killing these people? What's going on here?
Yeah, and I will say, like, it's too early to like say anything because I won't spoil it for most people yet, but like there is like one concept to that film that like could have been cool had they stuck to it.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you that like afterwards.
I haven't seen the movie, so I can't.
Yeah, well, I doubt you're gonna see it.
No,
anyway,
I don't care
so,
anymore.
Yeah.
I've fully given up on it.
But like one of the last ones that I wanted to talk about too, which was like a smart way to show the creature, was I think the Babadook.
The Babadook is cool.
I really really enjoy the fact that like a good percentage of the movie is more or less like through a picture book.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's this idea of like, okay, you get an idea of what it looks like. And then you get like that kind of like 1920s style, like while the mom is dreaming where like it falls down on her.
Yeah.
And then like later on you get like it coming through like the wardrobe and it's like shaking, and then all of a sudden it's got wings and it's like, okay, wait a second. Like there was nothing about wings before.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like you now see that like it's morphing, it's changing.
Yeah.
And then even too, like at the end, like you don't see it. Like it's all POV stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, you showed me just enough to get me an idea of what this thing is, but because of the wings, I now don't know fully what it looks like.
Yeah.
But I get an idea of it.
Yeah. I think something that also is cool to be said is Stephen King's It.
Yeah.
Where Pennywise is kind of just general form is the clown, mm-hmm. but
it's a giant cockroach.
But spider.
Yeah.
But the idea and concept of what Pennywise is when he comes to you, he is your biggest fear.
Yeah.
So that is also a really cool idea, right? So every time that he goes to somebody and is trying to scare them and kill them, it looks different to every person.
Mm-hmm.
So that leaves the imagination like to run wild, right? Because you don't know, like whatever my biggest fear is probably different than what your biggest fear. I think unfortunately it's like, oh, it's a big spider creature because everybody's scared of spiders.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
Wow.
That's kind of unfortunate, but everything leading up to that's pretty cool. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like the idea of like, oh, the old lady that I'm talking about, like the original one.
Yeah,
the original
TV. I'm not talking about the Bill Skarsgård
one. That one. But you know, like you have the old lady in the house and like she ends up kind of becoming like this walking corpse. And mm-hmm. then obviously just Pennywise himself. And then when he bites off, what's the kid's name's arm right in the beginning, whatever, like all of those things of like, cause some people find clowns just scary by
like
themselves.
That's just
and like,
themselves.
Like my biggest fear is clowns. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, okay.
My fiance is terrified and will not watch Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Yeah. Which is also what we were talking about. I don't know if I mentioned that. I don't know if we were talking about that personally or on the podcast, but my girlfriend as well had to shut off Killer Clowns from Outer mm-hmm. Space. Cause she's like, it's making me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like it's really not supposed to be like that. Like mm-hmm. it's
kind of like a comedy almost.
Yeah.
It's just that they're weird.
Yeah. That's a good movie. I love mm-hmm. that movie. But yeah, I mean, there's just so many movies. Like, I think what it comes down to is the type of horror film that you're making.
Yeah.
Like, if it's an Exorcist film, I kind of need to see Reagan.
Yeah. I need
to see what she looks like while she's possessed.
If it's like a werewolf thing, more or less, I can, like, if you have a good transformation, I'm fine with nothing else shown.
Yeah.
Lovecraftian, I need to not see as much as possible. Like, I need to imagine it myself.
Yeah, which I think Color Out of Space did a pretty good job. And the stuff that Color Out of Space did show actually did kind of freak me out.
If only they did it in black and white. That was my one gripe with that film. If they did it in black and white, I would have loved the movie. Because, again, I'm not supposed to comprehend this color.
Right.
And, like, yes, there is this whole thing where it's like, oh, there's a weird thing with violet where it's like we perceive it differently person to person. So it's like technically it's different. But it's like, no, just make it black and white so I can't see it. But, yeah, like slashers, like monster, like universal monsters, I need to see it. Everything else I can kind of take with a grain of salt. Like, just don't show me it.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're like in the vein of body horror, because I think body horror works best when you get at least something.
Yeah.
Similar to what we were talking about, The Thing, or even with the film that we just did, Society. It's like, if you don't show, if you're making a horror film that is like really kind of like laying into body horror, you kind of got to show body horror.
Yeah.
Because that is kind of some of the best and creepiest horror, because it's like, oh, it's human, but it's not human. Mm-hmm. And there is this sense of this is familiar to me, but it's also not, because of how foreign things look there. I think body horror actually has the highest potential to, get under your skin. No pun intended.
And it's so easy too, cause it's like, yes, like it's more money because like it should be practical effects, but you can kind of like balance it out, because it's like, if you don't show me a lot of it, then you're still like, you're not breaking the bank with it.
No, you're not. You're right. I think if you're going to go into a traditional like slasher, I got to see the people. I got to see Michael. I got to see the strangers from the strangers. I got to see Freddy Krueger. I got to see Jason, all of those guys.
If you're going like alien sense, again, it's kind of up to debate. Like xenomorph stuff, I need to see it.
Yeah.
Like, other things like Signs, stuff like that. Like, I don't really need to see it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, give me an idea of it.
Yeah. It really comes down to movie to movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that I think I tend to lean more towards movies that don't show any or a lot.
Yes, I agree. For the most part, like, I really don't need to see that much. Like, show me, like, little bits here and there. Show me, like, an eye, a shoulder, like something like that.
Yeah.
And then I'll figure it out myself. I'll comprehend it.
Yeah. And then, you know, but of course, no shade towards movies that show you everything, because I love a lot of those as well.
Yeah.
It's really, I guess there isn't a preference, but there is definitely one that I lean towards liking a little bit more. Mm-hmm. A hair, you know, like just a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I think that there's so many movies, like even something else that we didn't even talk about is,
Tremors.
Well, no, but like even like showing kills, right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus not showing kills of like, oh, the creature has killed somebody and we know what the creature looks like. How did they kill that person?
Mm-hmm.
Or you kind of just walk in on the aftermath of a death, right? And it's just like a guy with a pike through his neck or whatever it is. And it's just like, oh, okay, now I didn't see the kill. Is seeing the kill versus not seeing the kill also like important? Because there are a lot of movies where the character is about to be murdered and then the camera cuts away and you just hear like it sounds visceral and disgusting. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh my God, I can't even imagine what is happening to this guy, versus a movie kind of like a traditional slasher where it's like, no, I'm going to show this guy gets stabbed in the fucking stomach. And
yeah, cause you need that for a slasher. You need to see them do something like that, because otherwise like it takes all the gusto out of like who they are.
Yeah. It definitely is a bit more visceral when you're watching a slasher and you actually see the knife or whatever, like, penetrate skin.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Michael Myers. Like, he did it once, and then they were like, this is, like, his new thing, where it's like, he just takes his knife and he sticks somebody to the wall with it.
Yeah, I think that happened in, I don't know if that was the original one or the second one.
It was.
The guy with the sheet, when he got the sheet over his head. I feel like that might have been Halloween 2.
No, that was one.
Was it?
Yeah,
it
I think that was Halloween one. And then Rob Zombie did it again, and then they did an homage in Halloween Ends.
Yeah, Rob Zombie's Halloween is strange because it's basically an entirely different film. Let's say the movie's 2 hours long. It's basically an hour and a half of being a different movie, and then the last 30 minutes he tries to just do a shot-for-shot remake of the original Halloween, of John Carpenter's Halloween.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is a weird.
But you know what? I like that better than Halloween Ends.
Honestly, man, I don't hate Rob Zombie's Halloween.
I don't
Halloween.
Hate it. Like one in like the first two. Like,
I will say, Rob Zombie's Halloween. I didn't see the first. I didn't see the second one. Excuse me, but I will say that I think he's got the best mask.
Oh yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah, like that very like deformed, like kind of like it's been rotting.
Yeah.
Like it looks good.
Yeah, I think it's a great mask.
Mm-hmm. It's much better than fucking Halloween 4.
Oh yeah.
It's just straight up William Shatner mask turned white.
Well, yeah, well, man, Halloween 4. We should do all the Halloweens.
Oh. You know what's funny too, cuz I was thinking too. I was like, man, I really just want to do like a month of just bad movies, like just really bad movies.
That's tough though.
Yeah, like, we're not going to have much to say about it, but, like, man, it'll be fun.
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe that's the month that we get drunk for each episode.
All right, so, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's really personal preference, but I do think that I always kind of lean more towards horror films where they tend to not show or they show very little of the creature, the monster, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And I think that there is a real power to what the human mind can fucking kind of start...
I will go with that sense more where it's like, yeah, it, like our minds are so infinite in the idea of like what we can comprehend.
Yeah.
So it's like, don't show us it.
Yeah.
Let me figure it out. Yeah. I want to freak myself out more than you freak me out. And then if it's not what my mind is putting up to it,
right,
then I'm disappointed. Yeah. Now I'm like, oh, I'm bummed because it doesn't look like what I would think it would look like.
Yeah.
And now I don't think it looks great.
Yep. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I have a recommendation. It is not so much horror. I mean, it is. I think it's fitting for the season.
Mm-hmm.
It's an album. So there's a woman. I think she's Swedish. She's called Fever Ray.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard of her. Mm-hmm. She recently just released a single a couple weeks ago. By the time this comes out, and the single's very good. And I was like, oh, it's kind of creepy. It's got this ominous tone to it. I'm into that. Let me go back and like let me go see. Her first album, her debut, came out in 2009. And I think she made one other album like a few years later. And then she's basically just been off the grid for like over a decade. She hasn't released any music. And then she just comes out with this single and I really liked it. But her first album, which is self-titled, so it's just called Fever Ray, is really, really good. The opening track is such a good fucking tone setter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the vocals are warped and pitched down. It sounds creepy and weird, and it's just a really good autumn album, I think, to kind of get you in the mood of spooky season. So I wanted to recommend the Fever Ray self-titled album, Fever Ray.
Nice.
Is this the final film?
This is your, well, technically because of how like the month starts, you have another pick, I think. I don't know
either.
This is definitely like a horror pick for you, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to do a movie that I don't know if you've ever seen. I think you may have. And it's a movie that for some odd reason, I love it. And I fully acknowledge that it might not be incredible or amazing, but I watch it. I've seen this movie way more times than I really should have.
Mm-hmm.
But I am talking about Creep.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
For some reason, I love this movie, mm-hmm. and I'm excited to talk about it. It's found footage style.
It's the guy from The League.
Yeah, I think so. I've never seen The League, but... So that's what we're going to do.
Well, he doesn't murder in this one with the werewolf mask.
Correct. That being said, if you haven't seen Creep, watch it because we're doing it next week. So, and I think you'll enjoy it. So, Zach, take us out.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Now, Frank, roll the credits.